2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, thanks for being with me on the show tonight, buddy. Are you excited for tonight's show?
You know what, Alex? I am extremely upset, and I'm fired up right now.
Everybody's upset, and
this is a joke.
I'm laughing a little bit about everything because I know how sensitive everybody is right now. And yes, while we were on the air last night, I want to issue an apology to everybody who's listening. I was very upset about how the game was shaking out against the 76ers in the second half, especially in those last 2 minutes. I felt like the refs didn't do a good job. I want to apologize. The refs, it turned out, only made 6 mistakes during those last 2 minutes, according to the NBA, in those late calls. So they only missed 6 calls, according to the NBA. That's where we're going to start. That and the massive amount of disrespect going on with the All-Star game that was picked this afternoon or this evening as well. So let's start right there. It's a 7:05 cut, and we'll start with the Utah Jazz.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
What are you so mad about? Tell me what you're so mad about.
What am I so mad about?
Yes. Well, okay. Hold on. I gotta say this. The cut always brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit Wasatch Medical Clinic for a free offer. Scott, now you can go. Tell me why you're so upset.
If I'm the Utah Jazz,
you are mad. I can hear it.
I would just go in dark mode.
Oh,
just the rest of the season. I wouldn't talk to people. I wouldn't shake their hands.
Kangaroo I would just
be on a mission.
Oh.
I would go full Rambo on the whole NBA. How do you have the best record? The best record in the entire NBA, and you have these morons picking these basketball teams, and it's 100%. Don't even kid yourself that this is not something. This is a total slide on the Utah Jazz.
Well, let me play for
everybody
you
in the state of Utah, and all your buddies, our little friends at KSL Sports that like the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what? I'm not talking to those guys anymore.
All right,
you're dead to me. Dead to me right now. This is an absolute joke.
All right, so I want to just play. So I thought you were going to go with being upset about the missed calls that were there in the last night's game.
Believe me, there's plenty to talk about with that.
There with that, but I want to start with what Scott's referring to, and that is the All-Star Draft show happened. I guess it was an hour and a half ago. They kind of ended up finishing everything on TNT, and Team LeBron and Team Kevin Durant were Team KD and Team LeBron went through their picks. And LeBron went through, made all of his, they both went back and forth, and the last two guys picked in the entire draft for these teams were Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. The last two picked. And now, and then everybody had a hearty laugh about picking those two guys last. Here's what it sounded like.
I just want to say something because there's no slander.
Whatever. I didn't like LeBron before. I don't even like him now.
Okay, let's listen.
No. You guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Carl
Malone, John Stockton, that is so wrong.
Pick those guys in video games.
That makes it even worse. It's not funny.
Hold on,
we got to leave it right there. We got to take it. You can say something.
I gotta say one thing. LeBron says, I really need some size, and he got 7'5" Gobert,
right?
And he goes with 6'2" Sabonis. Are you kidding me?
They go to the break with a hearty laugh about them not picking.
So he basically admitted, when growing up, it's just like, you know, we would never take Karl Malone and John Stockton on your team.
So he goes, you gotta know, we didn't take John Stockton and Karl Malone. We didn't play with Utah. Oh, but you picked all the Indiana Pacer teams on those video games? I don't think so. I don't know if this is a slight. Do you think that
Are you kidding me?
Do you think Utah is the unpopular team now? No. Do you think they're the kids that people whisper about behind the lockers at school?
No, what they're saying is they're calling them out. They're calling the Utah Jazz out. They say, we don't think you deserve to have the best. I mean, they have the best record. You can't argue. The record is the record. They have the best record. They don't have. They have zero respect.
We don't think you're that good.
Zero respect from anybody. And the only way that you gain respect, look,
they have one of the two head coaches.
Have you ever heard
of All-Star game?
Right.
And they have two guys on the it's not even close too. There aren't a lot of teams with two players on the All-Star game, an All-Star team, and here we are. And yet the Jazz somehow. And I want to know this though: are we finding a way to feel sorry for ourselves, this small chip on our shoulders?
What do you mean, feel sorry for yourself?
You're doing it. You're doing the thing where you're finding the chip on your shoulder for the dumbest thing.
It is not the dumbest thing. No, this is not the dumb. Are you kidding me?
I know this.
This is not the dumbest thing in the world.
Okay.
In the early 90s, there was a team called the Detroit Pistons, and they became the Bad Boys. And you know why they became the Bad Boys? Because everyone was in love with
the
Magic
Bulls.
Johnson, with the Bulls, and with Larry Bird.
Sure.
Okay? And they said, you know what? We've had enough. We've had enough of being picked on. We're tired of it, and we're going to do something about it. And they just, it was us against the world mentality. So Donovan Mitchell all fired up about the NBA reffing calls, which he should be. And by the way, the refs came out and admitted in the last four minutes, they missed six calls. And it's like, well, thank you so much for telling us after the fact.
Right.
And it's just, they used to do this in the NFL. It was so infuriating to me that you'd go, we missed that one and we missed that one. And it's like, so those are chances and opportunities that we could have scored points. We could have, you know, it affects the outcome of the game.
Well, let me play what Donovan said after the game, because the headlines from today were Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell using explicit language, you know, about the referees and about the games. So we'll play.
Explicit language isn't even enough.
I know. Because this is a family show, we'll dial it back. Here was Donovan after the game with the media call.
It's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost, but this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things, and the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know,
get like mad,
we
Donovan.
Won this game.
Get
in my personal
mad.
Opinion, you know,
that's right. The Jazz need to have their Ralphie moment. And I'm telling you, this loss and all this stuff that's happening could be the very best thing to happen to the Utah Jazz going into the All-Star break.
Let me tell you something before we go out, and you're not going to like this, Scott. Donovan complaining about the calls. I was there last night. I was there. You heard me. I was doing the same thing.
Yep.
I can't believe this. We're getting ripped off. It's no one wants the Jazz to win. At some point, you have to just go, you know what? We missed some big shots, too. But Mike Conley could have won the game on a good look that he had at the end of that game. They could have easily taken more control of that game than they did. don't put it all on the refs. If you're going to be a superstar team, don't put it all on the refs. All right, yeah. We're going to take the break here. Scott doesn't want to hear it. We'll come back. Ben Anderson from the from KSLSports.com is going to join us. He wrote up an article about those missed calls and about the slight of Gobert and Mitchell being picked last in the All-Star draft. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. Look, the Utah Jazz, they just need to have their Ralphie moment. And what that is, let me explain it to everyone listening in radio
land. Who is Ralphie?
Just listen to my story and don't interrupt me, all right? Here is Ralph. It's the character. It's the main character in the movie from A Christmas Story.
Right.
And he's bullied by Scott Farkas, or we should say LeBron James or whomever.
Yeah.
And he's had it. He's just finally, he's fed up with just being intimidated, can't go to school, he can't be a child. So he just loses it on Scott Farkas.
Yeah, yeah.
And loses it like saying words that haven't right. been spoken from a human voice
right.
ever.
And he also beat him up pretty badly.
He pummels him, and he never right. has to deal with the okay. bully again. So the Utah Jazz need their Ralphie moment. They got to stand up to the bully, and just I'm so sick and tired of hearing this stuff that the Jazz get no respect, and they got to go out, and it's us against the world the second half of the season and win the NBA freaking championship.
If you took the over for how many times Scott Farkas was going to be brought up on the show tonight, you're the big winner.
Scott Farkas.
Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he, of course, covers the Utah Jazz for KSLSports.com. Best in the market, Ben Anderson joining us on the program. Two stories up of interest for people to read, Ben, that you've written up. One, the NBA has admitted to 6 missed calls late in that Jazz loss to the 76ers. Also, more recently, of course, Mitchell and Gobert being picked last in that All-Star draft.
Last.
We listened to the Hardy Har Har as those guys laughed it off like, oh, no big deal. We just didn't play with Utah when we were growing up. Do you buy any of this? Or was this a little slight at the Utah Jazz?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I'm sure Utah does get overlooked in general, but they know who the best team in the NBA is. LeBron knows which team just, you know, beat him by 25 points on the road on national television and kind of embarrassed him a couple of weeks ago. And the Jazz keep getting attention that maybe some of these older stars, some of these bigger stars aren't really loving right now. So I don't think it was totally innocuous the way they wanted to play it off.
Oh, I agree. Look, there's no question that the Utah Jazz, this is like a gamesmanship thing. It's like, okay, you guys think you're all right. All right, we're gonna bump you down a few notches here. We're gonna pick you last, just because we have to pick you. Like if we had our choice, we wouldn't even pick you. I 100% agree that this is a big time slight by these guys. That being said, okay, Ben, are they right? I mean, are the Jazz overrated? How good are the Jazz?
Well, let's first put it in the perspective of the All-Star game and how these guys fit in the All-Star game and whether they're not traditional All-Stars, the types of players you'd like to have. You know, Donovan's not quite as big as some of the other guards, even though he's a highlight reel dunker. Maybe he doesn't fit the All-Star mold as much as some players. And we know even though Rudy Gobert was spectacular last year, he doesn't really fit the mold either as kind of a more traditional center. So in a sense, it makes sense why they weren't picked as All-Stars, and I honestly think that's fine, and I think that plays into the selections as well. Now, how good are the Jazz as far as the rest of the season goes? I think they're still very good. I still think they have the best odds to finish with the best record in the NBA. I think you looked at they've got one of the easiest schedules remaining. I think you've really put a huge chip on their shoulder now with both tonight and what happened last night against the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt from officials from now on because Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are going to be donating between $30,000 and $100,000 in the next couple of days to NBA charities. They're going to get their money's worth. So I still think the Jazz are one of the best teams in the NBA. I think they've proven they can beat everyone in the NBA. We'll have to see what they do against the Nets in the next few weeks here after the season comes back. But the Jazz are for real, despite the fact that they went into the All-Star break losing 3 out of 4.
How is this, like, compared a game like last night where we're watching it And as people who follow this team here in the market, and, you know, we're obviously pulling for the Jazz to do well, it's easy for us to find bad calls. My question is, in the NBA finding missed calls, they do that for every game, right? They find places where these refs can get better, and they point out places where they got it wrong. Is this abnormally high for having this many mistakes that late in the game?
Yeah, to have six in the last 4 minutes is crazy. That's the last 2 minutes of overtime, the last 2 minutes of regulation. That's a huge number, because they do this for every game that's within five in the last 2 minutes of the game. So they'll go and say, hey, this is a close game. Calls have a chance to impact what happens. Generally, when you see it, it is like a travel, like you had from Bojan Bogdanović, where he was out, you know, 40 feet from the hoop and was double-teamed and kind of shifted his pivot foot around to end up passing the ball to Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt. Like, generally, there's little things like that. To miss what resulted in six free throws, because two should have gone to Joel Embiid,
right.
Two should have gone to Donovan Mitchell. Because of the travel that was not called on Tobias Harris, you ended up with a technical foul on Donovan Mitchell and two more free throws for Joel Embiid. So that's seven total free throws that they blew and messed up in a game that I know it ended up as an 8-point game, but, you know, went to overtime. I mean, you think any 1 point would have changed the outcome of that game, and they missed seven free throw opportunities in 4 minutes. That's an enormous swing. Yeah. Even if it balanced out who it wronged, that's a ton of mistakes to make in a game that you know, is not overwhelmingly important, but it's the two best teams in their conferences.
What are the repercussions for officials? You know, it's like players, you know, you don't do the job and you're out of a job. But these officials, you know, are there any repercussions? Do these guys lose their job? They get put on probation if they're consistently calling bad calls or missing calls?
Well, they do grade these referees, and those referees end up getting the bigger games, and then they end up getting the playoff games. And obviously, the more you work, the more money you get, and you get more money in those games, I believe. So it is recognition. It's, you know, whether you get brought back in additional seasons, you have to make sure your grade stays high and you continue to perform well. And there are benefits that come with that, and there are penalties if you don't. And usually it does come in the you know, position of getting to work more in the postseason, where half the crew goes home because half the teams aren't playing.
Listen to how petty we sound. Just listen to how petty we sound. Well, how can we punish these guys? Can
it's not
please,
so much punishing.
Scott wants to sleep well tonight and know that those calls were all missed. And I just don't want to hang any. I don't want to hang, you know, any importance on just the missed calls and things like that. I when I read your tweet about how Mike Conley, you know, really has had a couple of really good looks to be able to win games as a member of the Jazz, a couple of big ones, and that one was what, 11 feet away, a teardrop shot for him that normally goes in and it rims out. And but what really do you see going in now that we're into the All-Star break? Has the Jazz been exposed, and what needs to get better before they fire back up on March 12th?
I don't think necessarily the Jazz have been exposed. I think teams are taking them more seriously and giving their all every night, and the Jazz need to figure out how they want to adjust to that. Do you want to play like it's the Super Bowl every single night you step out on the floor for the next 37 games in the second half of the season, so by the time you get to the end of the year and you get to the playoffs, you're super playoff battle tested, but you're also beaten and battered because you've played everybody every single game? Do you want to be more selective in when you play Donovan Mitchell and whether you play Rudy Gobert, and just say, hey, there's a good chance we think we can get a top two or three seed. There's going to be fans back in the arena by the time the playoffs come around. I'm guessing that's not a guarantee. You know, and do you feel like, hey, it would be better to be healthy in that situation? What do you feel like you have to have most going into the final or going into the playoffs for the Jazz? And I think those are the types of questions they need to discover. That doesn't mean they've been found out or exposed, but there's some question marks left.
Two great stories you can read right now from Ben Anderson at KSLSports.com about the slight of Mitchell and Gobert being picked last in the All-Star draft tonight. Also, those missed calls against Philadelphia last night. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on the program. Go to KSLSports.com. Take our KSL Unrivaled Undefeated poll as well. It has to do with the Jazz at the All-Star break. And would you go back to the stadium once things are opened up? Or is it too early for you to show up to a stadium? Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
K
NASL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Just got off the horn with Ben Anderson as Jazz fans lament last night's loss to the 76ers, the NBA admitting to a bunch of blown calls. And then to put the old cherry on top of bad feelings, the Jazz picked dead last Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in the draft for the All-Star game this evening. It has Scott quite grumpy, but we're going to put him in a good mood here because Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, joins us now on the program, connoisseur of fine meats and cheeses. Bill, thanks for being on the program with us. And could you please help Scott feel a little bit better? I mean, he came out after the last night's game and then the draft.
Oh, Bill is the biggest LeBron fan in the world.
Oh,
he's
no.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so you're going to sympathize with LeBron picking Rudy last on for his team.
Well, I mean, I don't mind picking Rudy last. I don't understand why Donovan was picked like second to last. I mean, Rudy, All-Star games are meant for offensive guys, so Rudy doesn't really,
right.
You know, doesn't really fit All-Star games, but Donovan does. I don't, you know, and then the snarky comment. Hey, I like LeBron. I think he's the best player in NBA history, but I mean, the snarky comments about we never picked the Jazz, we never played the Jazz on video games. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just kind of a.
It's a slight.
I mean, I like LeBron, but that, I mean, does that comment need to be made? Come on.
He's going after those guys.
Yeah, it certainly didn't sound like it was helping the cause at all. Like, it wasn't a slam.
Oh, it's
thing.
Friendly fire.
It made it worse.
They're all stars. Like, it's a bunch of guys. It's, you know, after the game when they all shake hands and nothing. Who cares? It's going to be 184.
The players
to
care.
177. They, who cares?
The players
well,
care.
Look at it this way, Scott. Now they've got something else to be angry about for the second half of the season. And when they beat, and then when they beat the Lakers in the playoffs, you know, Rudy and Donovan can walk up to him and say, go play your video games now.
Nice.
Right.
He has lots of time to play video games now, LeBron.
Yeah, I'm writing this down.
They ought
down.
To buy him an Xbox or something.
I'm writing
ship
this
it to
down.
Him.
I'm taking all these notes so we can figure out a way to get back at LeBron and doing all this. Bill, we brought you on to talk a little bit of Utah as we're getting closer to spring. The schedule, of course, gets released, and we knew who Utah was going to be playing, and we knew kind of where they were going to be, obviously, but I guess the order was there. Were you surprised about how anything shook out, or what stands out to you from the schedule?
No, I think it's a pretty good schedule. I mean, we knew the non-conference games. It would be at BYU, at San Diego State, which is going to be in L.A., but not where the Chargers play, but where the soccer team play. Anyway, Scott, I can show you around. I've been to that stadium about 800 times calling soccer games, so we'll have a good time there when we get there, although it's in Carson, which is not exactly a great area of L.A.
See, I told you, Bill's a connoisseur of meats and cheeses and restaurants around the L.A. area.
There's no meat and cheese in Carson.
No, we're going to have to go elsewhere besides Carson to do that. Manhattan Beach isn't far away, though, Scott. So maybe we'll go over to Manhattan Beach. Now, I thought the schedule set up really good for Utah. They get the open conference play at home against Washington State. Then they get a bye week, and then they play at USC. I mean, we knew they were going to play at USC. You get a bye week before that, and then they come back home to play ASU. And then you finish up your last two games of the year with Oregon and Colorado at home. I honestly think it's a really good schedule for Utah.
What do you want to get out of spring football? I mean, what's a good spring football look like for Utah?
We'll start at your favorite position. It's getting reps for quarterbacks. Since they didn't get any spring reps last year for Jake Bentley, I think getting Charlie Brewer and Quentin Jackson and Peter Castelli a bunch of reps is good. And for me, too, it's the running backs. You know, you've got a new running back room. You've got two kids coming in from Oklahoma and LSU. You know, Mekhi Bernard's the only returning player, and then you've got a freshman and Ricky Parks coming in. So, to me, I mean, again, you're not hitting that much. You're not going all out like you would in fall camp, but I think it's a chance to get those guys integrated into the offense as well. I think your offensive line, your receivers, your tight ends are pretty set. But I think it's a chance to get, you know, your quarterbacks and running backs where you've kind of remade the room a little bit, some reps.
Obviously, the departure of Guy Holliday caused a little bit of a kerfuffle this week. You know, it doesn't help with, you know, speculation on social media and things like that. Shifting around coaches in the offseason, whether they get a job somewhere else or whether they're let go, happens to every team. So that wide receiver room, though, it seems to be one of these places where the Utes have a lot of questions and they need answers there.
Well, I mean, they don't have questions with their first three, but the big question is depth. I mean, if something happens to Britton Covey, Solomon Enos, or Jalen Dixon, I did the numbers. I mean, those are the only three guys who have caught passes and played in games for Utah. I mean, that's it, three guys. Now, you'll use Keithy and tight ends throwing it there, but I mean, you've got no proven depth. And, Guy Holliday was a good guy. I mean, I think the wide receiver position has been deficient, from a production standpoint. You can argue, was that the wide receiver coach's fault? Was that the offensive system? What was it? Inconsistent play at quarterback. But the bottom line is, something's got to change. And arguably, two of your top three or two of your top four receivers transferred out of the program after they had been there 4 years and 3 years respectively. So something was going on there. And, to be fair, it's a position coach's position. It's not a coordinator. It's not a head coach. So, I would imagine Kyle Whittingham didn't make that move without having an idea of what he wanted in that position. And again, to remember, too, this is important. Your Guy Holliday preceded Andy Ludwig. Worked together for a couple of seasons. Maybe Andy's got somebody he'd rather see in that position. I don't know. I haven't talked to any of those guys, but you guys know, coaches like to have coaches they know and they're familiar with, whether you're a coordinator or a head coach, and maybe Andy Ludwig's got somebody he wants to work with.
Is it possible to get that person now? I mean, it just seems kind of late. These decisions happen at the end of the season. I don't know if it helps or hurts in recruiting, but it just seems like to get a quality guy in that spot would be hard, because I'm sure everyone, has a job who has any worth.
Well, I mean, if you're a good wide receivers coach at a program that's lesser than Utah or making less money, I think, we know money talks. So if you're a really good group of five wide receivers coach at, say, Houston, and you're on the rise and you're making $180,000 at Houston and the University of Utah pays $350,000, I think that's an easy move, don't you?
I'll take it.
If you could
I'll
do that, that'd
are you
be great.
Offering? Is, that
is there
said?
A coaches transfer portal that we can jump into? Or
I'm sure there's a coaching transfer portal these guys can jump into as well.
I was looking at the
Baker Mayfield is in charge of that. By the way,
we were looking at the schedule too, and we were looking, of course, at obviously the ones that stand out. If you're in the South Division of the Pac-12, you look at where Arizona State and USC are, and they're right back to back. At the Coliseum, where the Utes have never won, and then that ASU game here at home. But you got a bye week before that USC game down in L.A. How competitive is this team going to be compared to those two teams who've made... I mean, ASU's gotten better, and USC is always going to be USC.
I think they're much like they were a year ago. I think you shake them up and roll them out and see who goes. SC always has more talent, so we know that. But I think Utah and ASU are highly competitive, and both have shown the ability to beat USC. So for me, Utah places, they've got to fill the holes with guys going in the draft. So, it's early, but I think those three teams compete for the South again.
He's Bill Riley. Bill, thanks for hanging out, and maybe I'll just go along with that road trip with you guys down to Carson, California, and check out the Utes down there playing San Diego State this year. I mean, if we're going to go to a good restaurant. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
See you guys.
All right, taking the break. We come back. We've got more to go. We've got our MVPs around the corner. And then we've got our second hour of the program. Much more to go. Stay right here with us, right here in KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, according to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right, welcome back. I'm Scott. He's Alex. This is KSL's Unrivaled, I think. Yes, it is. Of course it is. And what that means is it's unrivaled. It has no rival. It is the best sports show you can get. You're going to get insight you've never going to get anywhere else, and you're also going to be entertained in the process, because we like to have a good time. And Alex, he thinks he's funny. And sometimes he is.
Listen.
Sometimes he's not.
The people have spoken. They want me to shut up quite a lot. That's why we're having you host the show from here on out tonight, Scott. The rest of this evening, you're going to be speaking on behalf of me and probably just assume what my opinions are.
So, I wish we could, had time to talk to Bill about Larry Krystkowiak.
Oh, I know. We had so many other things. I know. Yeah. I thought the same thing. I wonder. I mean, you've said it too. You're like, every year Bill tells me it's a rebuilding year, but next year's going to be amazing. And it's at some point it gets old, right? And I was talking to one of our TV guys last night, and I said, look, here's the deal. In Texas, like, what do they do in Texas if they don't like a coach? Even if they paid way too much for him, they buy him out. And you know what? The community is so intense about that team. They're fine. Boosters will pay that buyout. And they'll say, look, man, let's get this guy out of here. And they're happy to pay the $21 million to see that guy never show his face around there again. And we're not like that here. You know what I mean? Like, if they're going to buy, Larry Krystkowiak has two more years on this deal and, set to make, close to $11 million when it's all said and done, I think. And in the end, like, I mean, you're not going to buy the guy out, you know? I mean, and
do you think if a big booster went to Mark Harlan and just said,
they could make it happen?
You know what? If you want to get rid of this guy, we'll make sure.
The thing is that we're like, we already think the money, it's hard to explain that money here. That's why we always talk about this, right? We look and we know the two highest state employees are Kyle Whittingham and Larry Krystkowiak.
Yeah,
but by a long shot.
But their paychecks aren't paid by the state of Utah.
Well, but I'm just saying that these are guys who, they make all this money and everybody sees it and they know exactly kind of how this thing goes and they know how much money that is and they know it's kind of insane, right? But at the same time,
my donation money goes to pay for Kalani Sitake. That's, you know what I mean?
No, but state funds do go to those guys.
Not $4 million apiece.
No. But it will be like, 2.5 and then the rest is paid, in incentives elsewhere. But I'm just saying that this is money that here we have a harder time explaining than in Alabama. If Nick Saban suddenly stopped winning, they'd buy him out because they go, yep, next, because they have the money, or it's more important for them to do that. And we don't see that. That's a harder sell in this community, I think, to say we're buying you out of this contract and we're getting somebody else in here. But at the same time, too, it is a hard question to ask when you go, look, man, you're at a place that has been to the Final Four a couple of times. You're at a place where, winning is expected. It's one of the best programs in the West, usually. And what's the problem? And why is it not working now? And I think that, I'm trying to figure out. And it's not like the Pac-12 is some insane conference now in basketball. It's pretty middle of the road, too. So lots of questions that need answering
Just be middle of the road and keep people around and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Think about, like, the football schools. And they're like, I don't care what happens with our basketball team. But with Utah, basketball matters. Think about how important Utah basketball is to this community. Think about how big time it could be, I mean, it's huge. And so
it doesn't take a whole lot to get a basket. I mean, you only got five guys. It's not like you have to get 20, 25, 30. You get five good players. You're a pretty darn good
basketball team. Oh, get Scott in there as athletic director. Hey, you don't actually need that
much. Can we just get five guys? I mean, come on. How hard is that?
But, I mean, part of the issue is transferring out in and out and just, volatile program right now.
The key is shoes, Alex. Got to get the kids the shoes.
Oh, okay. Does Under Armour have decent shoes for basketball?
I don't know. Probably not.
Steph Curry's one of their guys, isn't he?
Yeah, he shoots the ball quite well.
He does.
But he doesn't play defense.
The Utes could use him. All right, MVP time. Scott, you want to roll out yours first here?
I'd be happy to. So my MVP tonight is New Orleans, Narland Saints running back Alvin Kamara. And the reason he's my MVP is he's decided to move from the Big Easy to the big skies of Montana. I mean, you want to talk about...
Wait, he moved there?
Yeah, he moved
there. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He's just vacationing.
No, 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 no. No. Okay, so this is a quote from Alvin Kamara. Okay, so I've been breathing Montana air now for a few hours, and I just want to say I bought a house. I live in Montana. Leave me alone. That's a quote from him. So don't bug him. And, I mean, you want to talk about polar opposites, right? And I think this is the coolest thing in the world. Because for a guy like Alvin Kamara to, I mean, well, let's face it, New Orleans isn't my favorite place in the world to live. But it is warm, and I do like warm. In fact, I love warm. I wish I was in warm. It's just a nice place. But Montana is just so, it is, it's so out of the way. I mean, and a lot of people have found Montana. It's beautiful. It's serene. It's, you know, you can kind of get lost there. You don't have to get bugged. But here's the crazy part. Alvin Kamara has taken up snowboarding.
I know. I'm watching the video right now.
The videos are insane.
It's hilarious. It's not like him falling on his butt and having to get pulled back up by an instructor. He's obviously not great. Like, it's something that he's still working on. He's going 1,000 miles.
He likes
down
the downhill.
He is flying like, down the hill.
Flying like, down the hill.
I'm not going to make any turns. I'm going to go straight down.
I'm watching this going, Sean Payton.
Oh, they're dying.
Just like,
they are dying. The Saints contract people are like looking over that thing with a loop right now going, what is it? Like, because that's torn ACL kind of stuff. Well, oh, and he biffed it. He biffed it pretty good on that.
But this probably could be considered conduct detrimental.
For sure.
And they don't have to write it in your contract.
Right.
But they just have
these 12 videos that he just posted on
Twitter. They were not happy about me learning how to fly an airplane.
Oh.
It was not a happy decision by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you need an outlet. You really do. And I'm just so glad that I would have to believe it's probably a little bit out of his comfort zone.
Going over jumps? That's no good. You got to be careful here, buddy.
Anyways,
my goodness. He's at Big Sky. I've skied there. Boy. He's not lying, though. That's a good place to imagine being on the hill and you get on the lift and they go, and there's a single snowboarder, you know, and then you're just there and they go, hey, let's get you and you guys. Let's see. And they go, can I go up on the lift with you? And then you're like, Alvin Kamara, what on earth are you doing here? The lift ride with Alvin Kamara up to the top of Big Sky there before you go down the hill would be an amazing conversation. All right. My MVP, boy, he biffed it hard in both these videos.
Yeah.
You got to settle down, man. These guys are going to come after you. All right.
And he posted this stuff.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying is that, like, this is a guy who I think most of the time, I think he doesn't care. It makes me like him more, right? Where he just goes, look, fine. I mean, I'm gonna be safe. You know, we all biff it and don't tear our ACLs. You know, most of the time when we're skiing. But I don't know. Maybe for him, his team's going nuts. But I like it. All right, my MVP for tonight is. Let me see here. Oh, it's Big Ben Roethlisberger. I love Big Ben. I'll tell you why. Big Ben just got a new contract, and he took less money. And he said, "I want to continue this journey." And the Steelers looked at him and said, "We do too." We got to adjust some things on your contract. He said, say no more. We're going to do it. They made the adjustments, and Big Ben is continuing this, you know, every kid's dream, as you've described it, Scott, like just playing a game for millions of dollars and having tons of fun.
I'm glad that happened, but I'm sure they also said, Ben, if you don't adjust your contract, you're not going to be
right. They're all, hey, you want to go out and snowboard with Alvin Kamara? Maybe that was, I mean, this is the same guy who would ride around without a helmet on his motorcycle and they'd see him. Anyway, all right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Second hour of the program right around the corner. When we return, if we get back to a quote-unquote normal, will you go back to the stadiums? It might be full by the fall. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Second hour of the show right now. We've got a lot of things going on. Of course, if you miss any portion of the program, Scott Mitchell. You can download the KSL Sports app, sponsored by the University Federal Credit Union. And so that's where you can find any portion of our show as well. So, Scott, let me ask you this. As you look back on last hour,
yes.
Do you think you're a little bit, do you think you're taking it too far with the grumpiness about the Jazz and being picked last? And it's easy to go to KSLSports.com and read the articles and be a victim, all right? But you and I both don't like victims. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't feel like I'm a victim. And I would say the last hour was tame. I mean,
we did edit out all the cusses that Donovan had. You're right.
It's not me that got picked last.
Did Rudy cuss in French? And can we play that? Can you play the French cuss words? Is that still off limits? I don't know what the rules are. I've been working in radio
every
for 20
word in
years.
French
I don't know
sounds what, like a swear word to me. I wouldn't know.
I don't know what the rules are. I'm playing cuss words in other languages. And if you're Rudy, that's the new mode that you go to. You start cussing in French, and then people just go, that's cute, except for he knows that he's fired up about it. So, all right, we're going to start the show off here, though. I am going to hit the 805 cut, and we're going to talk about the possibility of life with football. So my question about life with football is this. Scott, well, let's get the 805 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Scott, next week. Next week, Scott, 50 plus can get the vaccine here in Utah.
Is it next week?
I'm looking your way. Yeah, I think it's next Monday, isn't it?
Effective Monday, March 8th. You know what? I'm sad to say that I actually could already qualify under the previous opportunity for eligibility.
Well, either way, let's get you vaccinated, and let's.
Do you know that morbidly obese is an actual medical term?
Well, then let's go together. Let's roll over there together.
And when you're morbidly obese, it's not really that far obese, but it's morbidly obese.
They're trying to really, really affect
hurt your feelings.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's working.
They did a good job.
Well, either way, with the possibility of everybody, I mean, every adult, I think across the country, and maybe even every person being able to have access to a vaccine. First of all, I love how we are massively blessed here in Utah. Because you heard the news. You know, Mark Jackson's playing these clips of these health workers saying, yeah, we're glad they're opening up more categories because we have open, appointments. And we want to make sure we get as many people vaccinated as we can. Because you look at California and every appointment is booked. People can't get in. People with comorbidities, they're not even touching some of these age groups that we've already gotten to weeks ago. And so we're massively blessed here, is all I'm saying.
I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but when you're eligible to get a vaccine, are you getting vaccinated?
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, absolutely. I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it right now. If like we were, remember when Elvis got the polio vaccine on like the Ed Sullivan show? Let's get some health.
Yeah,
let's get
it kind of predated me.
Stop. Quit it. I'm just saying you and I should get the vaccine over the air.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, they had to really set the example for folks to get that polio vaccine. 1961, Elvis went on the Ed Sullivan show and said, hit me in the arm, doc, and that's what they did. We should do it on our show. But with all those things rolling out, BYU is another one of these entities that has said that they are going to, they're planning on having a full stadium opening for the football season this fall. And I think that most people are anticipating that. The question is, are people going to feel comfortable to go? I know so many people who are massive fans of all these things, but they are absolutely still going to be hanging out. Look, I know people who got the vaccine and are still like, yeah, but I kind of like this version of what we're living right now. And I think that you might have a certain population that doesn't want to go to these things yet.
What's hard about that, you know, just to feel comfortable, is it's all invisible. You can't see it. That's the hardest part because you know when you deal with something you're trying to feel you want to know what you're facing, And when you run into this kind of, you know, hidden, invisible virus, but it's there. Believe me, it's there. And having had it, it's a real thing. But you just don't see it, and you don't know how you get it. I mean, they know how to get it, but it's microscopic little, you know, particles of breathing air and all kinds of things that you just don't see. And so, how do you know? You know, that's the biggest question. You say this to me. How do you know that it's still safe and that someone doesn't have it and you can't get it again? I think that would be a real concern for a lot of people. And I wouldn't be surprised if a decent number of people actually stayed away.
I wonder if, and we have that up as one of our KSL Unrivaled Undefeated poll questions. If it is opened up, would you go? Or are you still going to be cautious about it? I think you're still going to see, in big, large gatherings, you're probably still going to see some sort of a mask mandate. And that's a hang-up for a ton of people, too, where they're like, well, I'll go as long as I don't have to wear a mask. Or you have people who say, well, I'll go as long as everybody's wearing a mask. And so I don't know what it's going to look like, but you have more and more of these entities like BYU.
Well, what if the Utah Jazz, Alex, are playing in the Western Conference Finals?
Oh, man.
Are people going to stay away from that?
The answer is probably not. You can scrape together 18,500 people who are willing to go to the Jazz game and willing to risk, you know, and willing to follow the rules of wearing a mask or whatever the Jazz or whatever the NBA is going to require, whatever. I mean,
and if they're playing the loser Lakers, you know, I'll show up to that.
I just love that Dallin's here tonight because then he has to hear all this.
Yes, he does.
Look, he's wearing his dumb LA mask on right now. It's fine. I'm glad. Take this back to your other Cougar Sports Saturday friends. All right, what were their names? Mark and Morph. Look, take it back to those guys. The gauntlet has been thrown down. All right, you've offended us too much. Your Laker following has offended us too much, and we won't stand anymore for it. So Mick and Mark can you know, talk about Cougar Sports Saturday all they want, and the LA Lakers. Mitch and Matt are probably super mad right now if they're. But you know what? Doesn't matter. I'll text them that right now. I'll text them some of the same French cuss words that Rudy said. All right. I would be. We're all going to be. Scott. The reality is, if you think about the Utah games for you, if that stadium, you already wanted everybody to be back in all those games to be played this fall.
I can tell you that the games we were at with no fans, that is probably, I, you know, no one really talked about it, but I swear it had a massive impact and effect on teams.
It was a low point.
Yeah, it was just too much almost. It's just like, wow, there's like nobody here.
Well, at some point it wore down on the coaches too. I mean, at some point you're going you're thinking to yourself, I don't know. I mean, Coach Whittingham, you told me a bunch of times, it just didn't seem like they were into it. And at some point the protocols are so the red tape that they had to go through just to get practices going. And the time that they had to, and I won't say wasted, but the time that they had to spend on testing, waiting for test results, then being able to go in and start practicing, that's one of those things that really wears on those kids and the coaches. And they're like, we're spending all this time with these guys, and none of it is actually doing any coaching. So I'm happy when everything opens back up again. I'm interested to see what the general public is going to do when Lavelle Edwards Stadium is open for all 64,000+ people to come in, and when Rice-Eccles and Vivint Smart Home Arena are able to pack people in there, will they pack in there?
Well, you've got this stadium expansion at Utah, and it'll be done, and that should generate some excitement, and you want to have people there and fill that whole stadium in. That would be, it'd be a special place when it's all done and people are there in full capacity.
All right, full troll mode. The hosts from Cougar Sports Saturday are out texting me now. Great. We're taking the break here. They're in our head. More to go right here on KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled.
All righty, folks. Welcome on into the program. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Curry. This is KSL's Unrivaled. In our show prep today, I was reading an article about all the NFL teams and how much cap space they had. And I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have somewhere in the $77 million range of money they can actually go out and spend on free agents.
That's a nice little allowance for Coach Urban Meyer to roll into, right?
Yes, very nice. But here's the flip side of it. The New Orleans Saints are $69.2 million in the negative. They're in cap jail, as they call it.
Now, what does that mean? Do they cancel the season if they're over?
Means
the
they got to get rid of, they got to restructure, get rid of salaries. So that's why you're seeing a lot of these players, veteran players.
They released both of their tight ends today.
Yes, and right, and
does that include Drew Brees?
That's what I was wondering.
Because he has not made a decision.
Yeah, I think
technically
he's,
he hasn't.
I think he's there's no money because I don't think he even has a contract now. Maybe he might have a year left. I'm not sure, but. With that much money you've spent over, like you spend a whole lot of money over the cap, shouldn't you win the Super Bowl? Oh. That was the first thing that came to my mind. How did this team not win the Super Bowl?
Ask the Yankees how that works every year, just spending all that money.
Seems to work a lot for the Yankees.
Well,
though.
But, I mean, they haven't won in what, you know?
Dodgers. It took the Dodgers long enough.
It took the Dodgers, 50 years to do it with the highest salary. Yeah. So I think that, on the one hand, this
but
is like
$70 million
that's
over?
Actually not that much, though, isn't it? That's like
over?
Four contracts and you're good.
Well,
I think with the moves they made today and then Drew Brees, you're probably pretty close. That's what I'm saying. It's like when they trade to get Russell Wilson, which I don't give them that blessing, but I would like to see him playing with Taysom Hill. It'd be kind of nice. And the city of New Orleans really wants to see it happen. I just... what do? They have to pay a luxury tax? Is it like the NBA where they're over the cap and they pay the luxury tax?
No, they have to get under. They have to cut people.
Oh, they have to do it.
Yeah,
okay. Well, that's kind of fun, right? Yeah. It's a little aggressive, but it's fun to do. Sam Farnsworth, by the way, joins us in the studio from KSL5 Television. Sam, we were just... last hour we had our pity party. Let's pull it back up again.
Okay.
The two articles that Ben Anderson wrote up today, and everybody's had their eyes on, of course... Where were Rudy and Donovan going to go in the All-Star draft tonight? And there were a handful of players that you're like, certainly they'll go before those guys.
Right.
DeMontis Sabonis was one of those guys. And they took him before they took Rudy Gobert on Team LeBron. And KD picked Donovan Mitchell second to last. Right. For the last two Jazz guys, or the last two guys picked in the draft were the two. Are we reading too much into this? Is something other than just being, who cares? These guys were all just going to pick whomever to be on the team?
So the NBA clearly called up LeBron and KD and said, hey, look, we need to make an example of these guys. Okay, not really. No, but
they cussed us out on live TV last night, some guy in French.
It's ultimately, doesn't matter. No, it doesn't at all, right? You get picked last. They're still playing. They're still all-stars, whatever. However, I will give you this. I bet you Donovan and Rudy kind of, you know, do the... You know, looking at each other type thing, like, come on, right? It's just one more chip to take. You have last night, you're going into the All-Star break with the chip that they're saying, you know what? Small market teams never going to get respect from the NBA, from NBA officials. The superstar status, right, that the superstars get, we're never going to have that status because we're in a small market. You have that these two All-Stars from the said small market are now the last two selected to play on these two All-Star teams. They've been using this all season long, right? There's always been something they've been able to throw into their quiver and use all season for the motivation. And it's working, right? It's working. Donovan, I don't want to give Shaq credit, right? Because I think Donovan was playing just as well before. But I think there was a little bit of a bump in his intensity and the way he played after Shaq's comments, right? And every little bit of criticism or negativity surrounding this team and these players, they've used to benefit them, to motivate them, to drive them this season. You hear Donovan time and time again saying, you know, yeah, we're the best team right now. We don't want to be the best team right now. We want to be the best team in May, June, July, right? These are the things that if you're a Jazz fan, you got to look at and be like, hey, this is good. use this to be the driving motivation as we start the second half of the season in a week and a half. You know,
the NBA does not want the Utah Jazz to be in the finals at all.
No,
and it's all economics, and they need large market teams. Don't ever kid yourself that they're not like, okay, whatever officiating crew is officiating the Utah Jazz, make sure that you make it extremely hard for them
come
to
on.
Win.
Milwaukee is a small town.
Right. San Antonio
is a small town,
won
and it wasn't.
Titles,
and we didn't right? say. And we didn't say. Oh, the NBA. They're
a small town in a large state.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is not out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
Milwaukee's right next to Chicago.
Yeah.
It's Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a fairly populous state.
We get all those people tuning in from Southeast Idaho.
From
we got Price.
And, yeah.
We got Green
Wendover,
River.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all I'm saying. No, but as you look at this, though, and you see how the Jazz are going into the break.
Right.
It's not just the losses, but it's the feeling of going in with those losses, I think.
Yeah, too. And that part's the part that stings. That's the part that's going to, sour, I guess, over this break, is that they lost three of their last four going into the break, right? So you look at that aspect, and you're like, oh, man, that's a bummer of a note to go into this break on. However, then you look at it as, you know, maybe this break's coming at just the right time. Pick up after the All-Star break, right? Not right where they left off, right? But kind of how the first half of the season was going, and hopefully it continues that direction. So that's the big question. How are they going to begin the second half? Was this first half kind of the anomaly? Was it that great start? I remember, I don't know, a decade or so ago, the Houston Rockets had like a 23-game win streak going into the playoffs, and they didn't do anything, right? So you look at these teams that have had great streaks, great starts, and really nothing matters till you get to the playoffs. However, I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this way. The way you play during the regular season, surely, you know, that momentum can carry into the playoffs. And so to me, it's all about how they finish. Finish the last month of the season strong. Take that into the playoffs.
Yeah, we still want to be that number one.
But a year ago when they played in the bubble, it didn't matter what position you ended up in.
Yeah, it's true.
This year matters.
It does.
And the fact that what if you're Utah and you have large contingencies of people?
Right,
that can
you have 10,000 people maybe that are allowed to go to Vivint at that point, right. And then in LA, they're still not letting people
right,
in.
There's five, you know. So
if we get that that herd immunity in Utah, right? If enough people get immunized,
like Joe Biden,
whatever.
Let him say it.
If enough people get the shot,
what are you saying, Sam?
If enough people get the shot. Immunized.
It's the thing. Come on.
Then, you know, maybe they open the doors to nearly full capacity over there. You know, who knows where we get between now and June. But if the Vivint Arena is filled with fans, that is one of the strongest home court advantages, especially come playoff, that there is in the NBA. And that would pay, that'd be a big difference. So, obviously, number one seed, number two seed.
We want L.A. That should be the battle. We want L.A.
What would be nice is if they end up, they beat the Clippers, and then they have to go and beat the Lakers at some point, too, like in the Western Conference Finals. That'd be nice to beat both L.A. teams. All right, KSL5 news tonight, 10 o'clock, Sports Beat. I'm assuming we'll see some reaction to to the All-Star picks, but also, I know we've got some high school basketball.
Yes, we do.
Mid playoffs,
6A state semifinals going on at Salt Lake Community College, boys and girls. We got those highlights coming up. Utah State's playing right now against Wyoming.
Awesome.
So we got plenty. We got plenty.
Tune in to Sam, and he'll bleep out all the cusses that Donovan and Rudy throw out there. All right, taking the break here. Coming back, more to go. NFL roundup next, right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us this evening. Thanks for hanging out with us again on another edition of the program. Slurring my words a little bit, Scott. I was at the dentist today. Dr. Pettit did an amazing
job. I would
job.
Think it would actually straighten you out. You know, talk better.
The numb face. It adds an element to the show. It's just been great so far.
No, try having a good numb face and like a missing front tooth.
Oh, I forgot. Scott had a missing tooth for the good first, what, it was 10 months of this program?
Yes.
Scott showed up. Security halftime wouldn't even let him in. He had just one, he had that one missing front tooth. Hey, I'm here to do that, that radio show with those guys.
Sure you are.
Here's the other thing that came into my inbox today, Scott. I'm going to ask you this. Easter, I got a thing that said, hey, get that Easter ham. Order your, that Easter ham right now. And I was like, I don't think that we don't really have a traditional Easter meal in my house. And I don't know if you're like an Easter ham guy.
There are some people that are big on Easter, and I'm not one of them. I can't get into it was kind of a big deal when I was a kid, and we did, you know, colored the Easter eggs, and we went on, you know, and my kids and
hunt,
stuff like
sure.
that. Yeah, I'm just not, and people give away lots of presents and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, now that's the thing I refuse to get involved in.
Well, I haven't got to Easter yet because we're still on St. Patrick's Day.
This is what I'm saying. Here's the wild thing. Now, I know friends that give gifts to their kids for Valentine's Day. They give them to their kids. They're not like, be my Valentine. I'm your mom. Here's a $50 gift card to GameStop or whatever. And then you're like, that's not a thing. And then I had my kid ask me the other day, what are we getting for St. Patrick's Day? And I said, that's not a holiday. I don't recognize it. We're not going to do that.
St. Patrick's Day is an excuse.
It's just an excuse.
And it's like, it was so stressful growing up when you were like, I have to wear green today or I'm going to be pinched all day
so
long.
Dumb.
And it's just like, wow, I'm so glad I remembered. I was in the grocery store today and they had corned beef and cabbage.
That I can jam with. I can jam with the corned beef and the cabbage.
But when is St. Patrick's Day?
It's always the 17th. Always the 17th of March.
Whatever. Okay.
So that's what but here's what I'm saying.
Just
it's not
a
holiday.
Early
it's not a holiday until Reese's makes a peanut butter cup item for you. Like when we get the three-leaf clover stuff with peanut butter. Then we'll talk St. Patrick's Day.
I think it'd be hard to have a green Reese's. I don't know that that would sell.
Anyway, they don't need to do that. It's just like the Christmas trees aren't green. The hearts aren't green. They're Reese's. Anyway.
Well, maybe you do the green packaging and you still have it.
If you work at Reese's or Hershey's or whoever makes those, GM? Does GM make those?
Well, they
figure out all the companies, the parent
portion
company.
Portion control manager at Reese's needs
He needs to get the raise, man. All right, NFL roundup, Scott. I've got a couple NFL stories for you. First of all, this is a great time of year because before all of like free agency starts up in a week and a half, teams are proposing rule changes. Last time we talked about the Bills wanting to change the rule as to when you could hire and interview coaches. They're like, don't mess with conference championships. Don't mess with the Super Bowl. We'll interview afterward so that you don't mess with all that. But This is a real problem because the NFL has an overtime issue. Overtime stinks. No one likes the overtime they do in the NFL. Unless you, Scott, are you one of the few that like it? I don't think that.
It feels to me more and more that it's easier to have a tie.
Yes, it's
than
antiquated.
I think ever before. Yeah.
It's old. It's antiquated. You can end in a tie. No one likes it. And they have, and it's gotten more complicated with the if you kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball, but if you score a touchdown, then the game's over. And I like the way college does it. I like the idea of putting the ball at the 25-yard line. You score. The other team gets a shot. If they score, we keep going. And then you have to go for two after the second round of it. Like, just because we're going to get this thing going.
Well, you get it over quickly. That's the thing that
and someone wins.
Appealing to the NFL.
Someone wins. And it's exciting. So there are two things there. You're the NFL. You're already exciting. You're already amazing. Do this. But the cool thing about this is that who is it that proposed it, Dallin? It was the Ravens. The Ravens said Dallin, by the way, helping produce tonight. But the Ravens said we want to do this new overtime rule. Now it sounds a little complicated, but it still is better. So what they're going to do is they're proposing this: one team picks the spot of the ball at the start of overtime, the other team chooses whether they want to play offense or defense. So you could say I want it at the 5-yard line, and then the other team decides, okay, then I'm on offense at the 5-yard line. Now, you could just do the thing where you go, we're at the 50, and it wouldn't matter. Well, we're on offense, we're on defense. Maybe you want the ball in any case. I love the idea of just going out there, and it won't.
So is it whoever scores first at that point?
So it's the same thing, though. They couldn't just score a field goal.
Yeah.
You'd have to score a touchdown to actually win. Otherwise, the other team gets the ball from the same spot. So I love this idea. At least it's an idea to get the stupid NFL overtime figured out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly fits the protocol of the solution, I guess I should say, of what everyone wants.
And did you ever tie a game in your career?
No, and that's heavens. The biggest thing is not having ties. You work so hard, you work so long, and not to have ties. But the other thing is, all these coaches and these players are worried about, you know, I play five grueling quarters of football, and it really throws me off in the future, and that's a real thing. So I think it's smart. It makes sense. It covers all the bases. It solves all the problems. Therefore, the NFL won't do it. They just won't do it.
But what would get them to change their mind? Roger Goodell is a lover of money as much as any man.
The NFL is just snobbish. They're just heaped in this tradition, and they're just heaped in a way of doing things a certain way, and they don't really care. They really don't. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Scott, the Raiders, who we've become quick fans of since they moved to Vegas, they couldn't be happier with Derek Carr, according to them, according to their GM.
Kiss of death.
What do you mean it's the kiss of death? What does that mean?
Anytime. Look,
we really love what Scott Mitchell's doing. You're like, no!
And the NFL, and you've heard this a billion times, you're going to hear it a billion more. Not for long in this league. Mm. You can never be satisfied. You can never be, whoa, yeah, we just feel really good about this. That could be the worst thing in the world. I'm just telling you. It's just, and if I was Derek Carr, I wouldn't listen to that. I wouldn't take 2 seconds of account for that and say, oh yeah, this is great and they love me, I'm here. No, 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 no. What have you done for me lately? And he hasn't done anything.
I just love the idea of that being the kiss of death. Your GM says that you're one of the best in the league.
But
here's the thing, though. If you got rid of Derek Carr, then what? See, this is always hard. Like Matthew Stafford was the king of this.
Here's what the Raiders do is the Raiders go, they go small ball. They draft a quarterback. They go. We're going to just start over again, or not necessarily start all over, but you know. And again, this is a coach move, and I don't think Gruden's that kind of guy. At least I hope not. Where he's just like, yeah, you know, we had to start over. We got this new quarterback. It's going to take us 4 or 5 years of building, and they're starting to address those problems.
Starting to figure them out. All right, Scott. Speaking of the league, last night we talked a little bit about how you always said, look, during my time. Back in my day when we played, quarterbacks were tough, men were men, defensive backs could put their hands on the wide receivers. Nowadays, you can't touch the quarterback, can't touch the wide receivers. The NFL now is considering a rule change that would actually make roughing the passer penalties reviewable, and it goes both ways. They could review a call that was made or a call that was not made for roughing the passer.
Yeah, here's the problem with that, and I like this. I like the idea of this. It should make people feel a lot more comfortable. People will probably take more shots at quarterbacks now. The problem is they need to define what roughing the passer actually is, because I'm not sure I know.
They're like, and he drove his shoulder to a 37 degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's just vague. And so if they can get a clear definition of what roughing the passer is, then this makes sense. It's like the pass interference. It's a subjective rule, and it's so hard in instant replay to go, yeah, that round was roughing, you know, that was whatever. I like it. I'm not sure it has like a practical application.
Right. Let's take the break here. 2 minute drills next. We're going to wrap the show up. Stay right here with us. When we come back, Baker Mayfield, would you want your quarterback seeing aliens? Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Curry. We appreciate you tuning in with us. And if you don't catch all of the show, you can always download the KSL Sports app. It's free, and you can get us and everything we say whenever you want. So, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're up and you can't go to bed, tune in to us. We'll keep the party alive, I guess, is what we'll do.
Let me propose something, Scott. Now,
okay.
This is coming up in a few months, but I just had this idea. And the thing that gave me the idea was this: the music at the beginning. I was singing this. One of my friends tore his Achilles. And here's what it sounded like when he tore his Achilles. I was thinking about this, and I thought, when did he tear his Achilles? Here it is. There's actual footage right there of the tear of the Achilles. And he tore the Achilles playing the Turkey Bowl.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
because you don't warm up. You're right. Old. You haven't been working
trying
out.
Trying to do a little bit too much. A
lot of exertion, you know, basically going 0 to 60.
I can't wait. You know what we're going to do this year? We're going to make a little commercial, a little 60-second commercial, and we're going to offer you, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, as the all-time quarterback for your local Turkey Bowl.
Hey, I'd love it.
Look, for a small fee to KSL News Radio and to Scott, and me for booking it, because I'll be like a little 12% agent fee or something like that. Scott will come to your
Turkey Bowl.
Your soccer field.
Whatever.
Your elementary school field, wherever in your community, and it'll just drop dimes on people. A couple of rules that have to be in place. First of all, roughing the passer is reviewable now, so we're going to go back to the.
Yeah,
we're going back to.
If y'all want to play tackle? You go right. You tackle amongst yourselves.
You got to play. You got to.
I'm
pay,
off limits.
You got to pay Scott's copay if he does get hurt.
No, I'm off limits. There's like you can't, no touching the quarterback.
No touching the quarterback. Nope. That's a celebrity thing, and it's just a you know don't get hurt thing.
Because I got all these people who want to prove a point.
That's what I'm saying. Oh
yeah, I sacked the NFL guy.
Yeah. Oh, like, see. The stuff you deal with. I didn't even think about
it.
I don't
even want to have anything to do with
it. I didn't even think about it.
No.
Well, now I know, and we're going to put that commercial together. And if you're thinking about it, for a small fee, I don't know what the market bears on this, but we'll have to get with the accounting department and see what the a good cost point would be for that. Scott, you know what this music means. It's the end of the program. What do we do at the end of the show here?
Well, like a football game, you got to go down the field and score a touchdown, kick a field goal. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry our shows the same way. Got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry down the show. We finish it strongly. We go home happy with a trophy because everyone gets trophies today, and we wear our mask and probably we've been vaccinated.
Strongly a word?
I don't know.
We've got to do this every night. There's always a word that Scott throws in there that I'm like, did it strongly. Well, this next story here, Scott, we'll step away from this NFL music. Because this one actually is a serious deal.
This is a big deal.
And I'll get the help from the old X-Files music here. Baker Mayfield and his wife, lest you think this is just a singular, you know, guy in a trailer in Texas seeing this. Baker Mayfield and his wife both tweeted out last night that they saw UFOs, that they saw a UFO. Here's the tweet. Almost 100%, Am and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? People, of course, there's one that says, aliens, please don't take my quarterback away. Another one says, another one, his wife did end up tweeting, I'm not like this. I promise you, I'm not like this. Well, you are now. You're on the list of people that we can't take very seriously. Now, here's the real question, Scott. Do you want your quarterback seeing aliens? Or do you want your quarterback being a flat earther? Which one's worse?
Oh, well, see, the alien thing, we know the earth is not flat. At least I think we know that. But the alien thing, there could be some truth to this. I'm just some weird stuff goes on.
Boy.
Look, I didn't see UFOs
right.
When I was playing football, but I've seen some crazy things out in the sky at night. And there was one, and it was this consistent like light, and it was like a light would go by and then another one following the same path would go by. And it looked very UFO-ish. And it turned out to be this, I don't know, Elon Musk kind of it's some new satellite program or process. But when you're watching it, you're going, that looks like somebody flying, and it doesn't look like a military thing or something.
Hey, you know what? You know what's great about this segment? Initially, it started out as us just making fun of Baker Mayfield. It turned into Scott explaining that UFOs are probably real.
No, they are real.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. They're totally real.
Oh, We've come full circle tonight, everybody. I thought we were going to make fun of Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield and Scott are going to start up an extraterrestrial podcast coming up here. I thought it was funny because
you can't tell me you've never seen a UFO.
There have been. What do you mean? I mean, just
something that's
speaking,
unexplained.
Something that
it's an unexplained flying object. Is all it is.
I have definitely seen meteors come out of the sky, and they light up bright. They look like they're falling straight down, and I was like 11 years old, and I said, oh, yeah, my scout leader taught me that's a meteorite.
I would not normally be kind of freaked out by this, but the meteorite thing is a real thing. I watch a show, Greenland. Go watch it. And it basically, it's that whole thing that destroys the Earth. And they don't see them sometimes. They just come out of nowhere. They're undetected.
Yeah.
And pieces of those meteors fall off, and they hit the Earth. They make sonic booms.
Stephen Hawking, the, like, you know, genius
the smart
of our
guy,
time.
Right, yeah.
He said that the Earth's biggest threat was not necessarily greenhouse gases.
Right.
It was a foreign object coming out of space and hitting our Earth. But we usually have a pretty good.
Foreign objects that come out of me from time to time. And I'll tell you, they could destroy the Earth.
Family
just saying.
Show. It's a family show, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Okay. Scott, if you go to KSLSports.com, you can read up on an article that that Kyle Ireland, our colleague, put together. He condensed it from they put out a list of the best dunkers from every franchise across the NBA of all time. And so you're thinking to yourself, oh man, Donovan Mitchell, right?
Right.
Except Daryl Griffith, Dr. Dunkenstein, was actually named, according to ESPN. He was named the best dunker in our franchise history here in the state of Utah. Now, part of that is because what they basically did, they took criteria in-game dunks, performance in the slam dunk contest, and, like, innovation, okay, right, in the dunk world. Now, Rudy will probably end up with the most dunks of all time by any Jazz man ever, probably. But he will not be considered one of the best dunkers because he won't go to the slam dunk contest ever, and he's not really what we consider innovative on the dunk front. So if you were to really give thought to this, the best dunker between Daryl Griffith and Donovan Mitchell is who, though, Scott?
Daryl Griffith and Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, who really is?
Well, see, Donovan Mitchell, what's so good about him is he's short.
Right, he's kind of smaller.
And so his elevation off the ground just – the dunk just seems like it's so dramatic, right?
He's 6 feet tall. He's not 6'3" like they used to say. He is 6 foot.
Thing. When you have the name Dr. Dunkenstein,
it's pretty tough to beat.
Come on. It's the name in and of itself. It's
his
just
back,
like,
his backup nickname is better than anyone that we have. The Golden Griff? Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like we had – that's a guy with two serviceable nicknames.
Yes.
You don't get that very often.
No.
So, you know, that's like Michael Jordan. We talk about Air Jordan, his airness, right?
Right.
I just think that I didn't get to see Daryl Griffith like in his prime, you know. So I'm not.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Something to behold.
I maybe over time it might change, but right now, they got it right.
Here's what we're lucky with, though, is that we have a Donovan Mitchell in this market that is explosive. When he comes down the lane and he's like, I'm deciding I'm going to throw it down, it's as exciting as any player dunking any style in the NBA.
But currently, you know, as much as he was Dr. Dunkenstein, he was this, like,
he's a scorer, man.
Amazing three-point shooter.
Yes.
You know, and he was effective at the three-point line when it wasn't sexy. You know, and now today, boy, I mean, he would probably flourish more and be more valuable and important in today's NBA game than probably he was.
You know
back,
what's awesome about the Golden Griff and Donovan Mitchell? Both products of Louisville.
Right.
Boom. There you go. All right. We're going to take the break, the long break. We'll be back again tomorrow for Scott Mitchell and Dallin filling in for Jeremy out today. And Mitchell and Alex for hitting all the buttons. We say adieu, and we'll be back again tomorrow for a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. See you then, everybody.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America.
but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.